quick question, and I want you to answer it honestly. If you got 5 new clients this month, would you be absolutely buzzy? Or would your stomach excitement about the revenue would then feel up because you'd no idea how you would deliver it without everything in your business feel like it was literally going on fire? And by the way, if your stomach's up, that's not an indicator of stress or anything like that. It's typically a signal of structural fragility. Because if your first reaction is, it's a new client, but your second reaction is, holy shit, how am I cool? You've got some structural challenges going on behind the scenes in your business. That's actually great news, my friend, because structure is fixable. So stay with me, because by the end of this episode, you'll have a structured way to decide the next best move for scaling your business, whether that's hiring, getting out of the founder bottleneck, or repackaging your service so you stop trading time for money. Now, this free founder whose business is already working, and the next step is to take your business to the next level, but that next level feels weirdly difficult to choose. And you're not in chaos. You've done the chaos before, and you can handle any chaos that comes your way. This is different. It's that, okay, I've done pretty well. I could nearly do this in my sleep stage, but what now stage, if you know what I mean. So it's those questions that are cropping up, that are keeping you awake at night. Do I hire? Do I need to market more? Do I need to start doing paid ads? Do I change what I'm selling? Do I change my pricing? Do I build a team? Do I stop doing delivery and hire somebody else in to do the delivery for me? And if I stop doing delivery, who does it? And what does that mean in terms of quality? And do I want to risk my reputation on that, my current clients on that, and all of the things? These are questions that come up so often with the clients that I'm working with. And the frustrating part about asking all those questions is you know you're totally capable of more, and you freaking are. That's what makes this stage so irritating. You've got like this incredible untapped potential in your expertise, in your business, and you can feel you're underusing that potential because the busyness of the business is consuming your attention. And here's the thing. If you don't choose your next move deliberately, the business is going to choose for you. It's going to pull you back into the weeds with delivery. It's going to pull you back into being the decision maker about every little tiny minute detail that needs a decision. It's going to pull you back into being the person that everybody in the business depends on. And you don't want that. So this whole episode is going to be anchored on one question, and I'm going to keep coming back to it time and time again. And that question is, write it down if you want, what is the next best move that creates capacity and growth for you and your business without breaking your client delivery? Okay, good question, right? Now, if you get clarity there, what will happen is you'll stop spinning at the crossroads you're at in terms of which direction, and you'll know which direction to take. By the way, if we haven't met yet, hey and welcome, I'm Deirdre Martin. I help consultants and service providers scale with neuroscience-backed business and mindset strategies without sacrificing their health or the people that you love most in the world. Right, we're going to dive into 3 moves in order, and then I'm going to give you a simple rule to decide which one to take first. So the move one. If you're doing all of the delivery, this might surprise you to learn, but your next move usually isn't more marketing or paid ads or anything in that direction. I've met so many clients who are service providers come to me and they're ready to grow, and they already have regular referrals coming in. They have repeat clients. They have a good steady income coming in. And that's a great sign because your work is working, right? You're getting results for your clients. They're achieving success. What you promised them in the first instance, they're accomplishing that. And that's why they signed up with you. They are now advocating for you. And that's freaking cool. And well done, if that's you, by the way. And, you know, sometimes we don't stop and celebrate those things often enough. So just telling you, give yourself a pat on the back if that's you right now. But, and unfortunately, there is a but. Referrals have a downside. They can keep you busy enough to avoid building a proper growth engine, because what happens is they're coming in, but you're not being proactive. And when that happens, marketing becomes the thing that you should do, but never properly do or never get really intentional behind it because you're so busy delivering, managing, answering, fixing, thinking. And by the time you get to content, you're like, no, not today, right? And this is where I see so many founders go wrong. They think the answer is, I need to be more visible. I need that. But hold on, if you're already at capacity, more visibility just creates more pressure. It creates more fixing, thinking, managing, and all of the things. So for a lot of founders, the next best move isn't marketing. It's actually finding a way, it's like clearing that fog to create capacity for yourself and your business. And this has come up recently with a good few clients. One was constrained because of time and personal commitment and was close to max capacity, but not ready for visibility until capacity had been created. And the other was completely on the other end of that. A founder doing all of the delivery, referrals, feeding the business until recently. And for years, the business was stable, but growth felt unclear because there was no bandwidth left for anything that actually moves it forward. They had no capacity to market. They had no capacity to create the visibility and to build additional demand. So the first move for them was to hire a VA and to outsource some of the admin work that they were doing. It's not glamorous or sexy, but it's really freaking smart. And my founder who did that, they got back 12 hours a week, so super quickly, because admin is like the sneaky thief. And you find yourself doing it all the time because it's just a thing that you do. But usually it's not one big thing. It's that drip, drip, drip of tiny little things that keep you really busy, but also keep you in that reactive cycle. The next hire that founder made was contractor, somebody that could do some of the delivery and behind scenes. So the client didn't necessarily need to be aware of that, but then this person has the potential to come and be client facing as well. And this is where things got really interesting, because that capacity then, that extra space turned into momentum for my client. And within 2 weeks of having more space, they quoted for 5 proposals over 5 days. And previously, that might have been a month's worth of stuff that came in all off the back of referrals only. And because they weren't drowning anymore, they had the capacity to be out networking. That led to speaking engagements. It led to visibility and credibility without having to be online every day. And that's where those proposals came from. So if this is sounding in any way vaguely familiar for you, I want you to do a quick little self-check right now. I want you to just reflect on this. If 5 new clients landed this month for you, would you be really, really excited? Or would you be panicking? If you're panicking, your next best move is to create that type of capacity. Full stop. And here's a tip I give my clients when they're trying to create capacity. Grab a pen for this. Pause if you need to. For a few days, track everything you do in your business, all the emails you send, who you're sending them to, the types of emails they are. Like, are they just setting up meetings? What are they? CRM management, follow-up with clients, delivery, whether it's admin, that your admin delivery, whether somebody is at a stage in their journey with you, and this is what has to happen then, and you know, what does that look like? Marketing, maybe blogs or articles, newsletters, social media content, whatever it might be. Do you need to create that? Could somebody else create that? Finance, your invoicing, checking your banks, matching the stuff between your bank and your finance stuff, sending out invoices, following up on unpaid invoices, right? All of those things, track everything that you're doing. And then on a piece of paper, just draw a line down the center to create 2 columns. And on the left side, right at the top, what can only I do? And on the right side, call it what someone else could do with an SOP. Now, one of my clients, we were looking at this actually only yesterday. And she had done it with an Excel sheet. And she had just listed all the things. And she had her 2 columns up at the top for only I can do or I can delegate this. And she just put an X as she was going through the stuff in each column so that she could see visibly what she could delegate. The next step in terms of creating capacity for her is hiding in that second column. So if that's you, that's where there is an opportunity for you. But also, in this very space, when you're at that crossroads, there's an identity edge that I've seen crop up with so many clients as well at this stage. And that is, if your self-worth is tangled up in being the one who does all the things all of the time, growth is going to start feeling like you're giving up something. But if you go ahead, you're not giving up quality. You're just literally changing the model. You're changing your operating model in terms of how you work. And that's totally okay. So next is, what happens when you create that capacity, but you still feel like everything roots to you or through you? And this is the best part. I think that this is the part where I see founders say, I hired help and I'm still busy. Okay, I totally get that. Because you've hired help, but all the decisions still root back to you. You have to maybe approve things because you've guardrails in place. Or people are calling to you with questions saying, what do you think about this? Am I doing this right? All that sort of stuff. And they're tiny little micro decisions. And there are things that those people are escalating because they don't know what decision is right for you and your business yet. So everything still needs your brain. Ugh. And you're not imagining how exhausting that is. It is literally, there's a nail on this. It's called a management tap, right? And interestingly, the American Psychological Association explains task switching, which creates an extra cost, like a switch cost. So every time you reorient to answer those questions or make those micro decisions and it distracts you from what you're working on, your performance drops compared to staying on one task and literally seeing it through to completion. And also, this one stat is worth hearing because it explains why your day feels shredded. Harvard Business Review reported knowledge workers, so people who are service providers, consultants, coaches, all the people listening to this show, they toggle on average, guess how many times, this number is not, I'm like, I'd really like to track this for myself. On average, we toggle between about 1,200 times a day. 1,200 times a day. That's costing almost 4 hours a week just reorienting between tabs and apps and stuff like that. That's nuts. So yeah, no wonder some days it feels like, what did I actually do today? Because you're so busy just switching between apps. Hyper-focused. Oh my gosh, hyper-focused. That's what we need. So when your day becomes constant micro-switching, you feel busy, but you don't feel effective. Oh, that's so me, that genuinely. And then you start thinking, you need more discipline, more productivity, willpower, all those things. But no, you don't. What you actually need are lanes. So the next best move here is to create decision lane, not vague delegation, not own this lanes. It's things like, if it's under X amount, you decide. If it's a repeat problem, document the solution and propose the standard. Then you only have to approve it once. If it impacts its scope, draft the message and then say you'll green light it within a set window, right? If it's not urgent, it goes into a weekly review meeting that you have with that team member. So it stops hijacking your random Tuesday mornings. So here's another quick self-check-in I'd love for you to do. On a scale of 1 to 10, how often do you get interrupted for decisions someone else could make if the rules or standard operating procedures were clear? Now, if you're above a 6, you don't need another system. You simply need clearer leadership design. You need to set some boundaries around your availability, but also set expectations around what other people are empowered to do. And now let me call this out, that this is particularly useful for founders around the 100K to 1 million-ish stage where proof and demand are there, but delivery and decisions still depend on you. Because if you're trying to land your first consistent clients, this isn't your stage yet. You don't have other people probably working for you, and this isn't really relevant just yet. But it's useful to have this one in the bank for later on once you're there. And here's the identity piece that I see at this stage for founders. If you're overly available, whether to clients or team or even your freaking family sometimes, you teach people to overly depend on you. And I have this with another client where he had an office and he used to sit in the office with his team. Every phone call, every conversation, he was getting sucked into it. And he didn't realize it, but what he was trying to do was to control every single outcome. And even though he thought he was helping, he was actually stripping away people's autonomy and really pissing them off, to be frank. He was giving away his power, his capacity, his time. And when he realized this and I coached him through it, the solution was to work from home a couple of days a week. And the difference was profound. Like, yes, it took him a little while for the team to adapt because they were so dependent on him. But him too, to be fair, because he was like, oh my God, what do I do in this time? Like when I'm away, and I'm like, this is your business development time. This is your time to work on your business and not in it. Fast forward, I want to say 2 years later, now his business runs autonomously without him. And he's now set up 2 or 3 other businesses, right? So once you've got capacity and lanes, then you can move into the money model. Because when income feels a little bit lumpy or clumpy, founders tend to cling a little bit harder, hold tighter. They stay on, like all of the time. And then what happens is it reinforces the whole cycle. And this is where I say stop trading time for money as your only option. Because if you bill by the hour, your income lives and dies by your calendar availability. It's simple math. Let's say you work 40 hours a week, you've got 10 hours of admin, that's 30 hours that you are available for delivery. And if you're only charging per hour for that, your ceiling is capped. You've literally built a job for yourselves. So the next best move to scale is repackaging. Offers, retainers, but focused on clear outcomes. And again, so many clients, when we look at their revenue generation streams, the result is often moving from hours to retainers. So income is steadier, delivery is clearer, and delegation stops being a guessing game because the work now takes a shape. Retainers force clarity around what's included, what isn't, what are the boundaries, what the definition of done looks like, what gets delivered consistently. And when you have that, you can bring in a contractor, and your contractor can sometimes deliver way fucking better and faster than you can. And that means the client service improves, you get better testimonials, and the quality improves. And hey, before you know it, we're allowed, right? Your business is profitable. And here's what I would love for you to reflect on now. Sound check in number 3. If you took a month off, would your revenue keep coming in, or would it pause with you while you're off enjoying your break? If it pauses with you, there's no shame in that. None whatsoever. But boy, that's fucking great information. And I'd love for you to write this down. What outcome do I deliver repeatedly, and how do I package it so it's not priced by the hour? I'm telling you, there's a way. If you haven't figured that out, yes, maybe we need a conversation, but there is definitely a way. And you don't need the perfect answer today, but you definitely need to start thinking like the CEO of a scalable model and not like the human tire sheet. Okay, so let's put all of this together. If you don't choose the next move deliberately, you're going to default to what you know. Delivery, 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 client delivery, right? And over time, that has a cost. Financially, your revenue caps because your capacity caps. Mentally and emotionally, you're always on, even when you're off. Leadership-wise, your team can't truly step up because you're still the central hub holding everything together. Probably a lot of it lives in your brain. But here's a deeper consequence most founders never say out loud, but I've seen this happen. If you don't fix this now, you build a business that depends on your stamina. And stamina is not a scale strategy. And that's why this matters, because the alternative isn't a dramatic burn it down reinvention of your business or your life or anything else. It's literally a sequence. It's create capacity first, hire in that VA or contractor, and look at what can you automate, eliminate, delegate, and maybe even get your VA to help apply that, right? Then create lanes so decisions stop coming back to you. And that means empowering people. And then look at repackaging, so you stop creating time for money and your income starts to become a bit steadier. Now, if you need proof, this isn't theoretical. That client who hired that VA and contractor, that move for them created 12 hours back per week, which turned into 5 proposals quoted in 1 week instead of a month. plus speaking gigs, plus the founder finally had found ways to be visible in the right rooms. Now, you know the way you don't know what you don't know? Well, here's the bit that I see founders don't know that they don't know is that when they are at that scale crossroads, this is where they get caught. They struggle to scale because implementing growth strategies while it's being full-time in delivery is brutal. There's just no capacity and it makes you feel stretched and overwhelmed. And that's where having some support can help you change that speed. So if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, this is exactly my stage, then stop trying to solve it alone. Book a call with me. We'll identify your next best move in 30 minutes or less. And I'll tell you what to do first so you stop wasting weeks trying to pull the wrong lever. Click the link in the show notes to book your call today. And if you want to know why the tiny decisions keep pulling you off track, just listen to 3 ways to reduce founder decision fatigue today. The link is in the show notes as well. Okay, I always give an action step as we wrap up each episode. So here goes this one. Pause and pick your next best move. Is it creating capacity? Is it deciding on lanes or is it repackaging? Pick the one that, if you did it in the next 30 days, would make everything else easier for you. Write it down, put a date beside it, stick it on your laptop, your computer, whatever. Make it real, make it visible, and tell people as well so you really commit to it. Okay, we'll recap. If you're doing all the delivery, your next move is capacity, not more content. If everything roots back to you, your next move is lanes, not more effort. And if you're selling hours as your only option, your next move is packaging, not more time. So share this with one founder who's doing well, who keeps saying, I don't know what to do to get to the next level, or I don't have time, or whatever. And if you haven't done so before, please do me a favor, please rate, review, subscribe to the show wherever you're streaming from today. And until next time, keep mastering your business.